Support for WPR comes from Viterbo University, dedicated to supporting the state's health with doctoral and master's degrees in nursing, counseling, nutrition, and more. Viterbo.edu/graduate.
Support for WPR comes from Wills on behalf of Wisconsin Public Libraries, offering access to ebooks, audiobooks, digital magazines, and more. Available with a Wisconsin Library card at wisconsinsdigitallibrary.org.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. When Benjamin Franklin attached a key to a kite, it captured electricity. Well, our next guest attached a camera to a kite and captured breathtaking views of Camp Randall, Madeline Island, and other Wisconsin landmarks.
Today in our Hidden Wisconsin segment, we talk to a Madison photographer who shoots his subjects from a unique perspective. He's been called the Ansel Adams of kite aerial photography. Craig Wilson joins us here in the studio. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm really pleased to be here.
So how did you get started with kite aerial photography?
Well, you can imagine 31 years ago, I was a little bit bored, looking for something to do. My wife gave me a kite. I took my carpentry and construction background and fidgeted around in the garage and built another kite, kind of like the one she had given me. And then I decided maybe I needed a bigger one and a better one and another one. And pretty soon I was borrowing sewing machines and making kites. So as those kites got bigger, picture this. You're out flying a kite that now is a 20-foot kite that you've built.
Wow.
And, of course, this is back 30 years ago. So before the internet and, you know, not a lot of guidebooks and directions to tell you exactly how to build a kite, what step to do, what size the framing needed to be and the line might need to be. So I'm out flying this 20-foot kite for the first time. And I thought, well, you know, it might break. It might fly. It might break the line and fly off. I better have my camera with me to get that picture of this kite that I've put all this work into. So the kite ends up flying very nicely, but then this light bulb moment happened when I'm holding the kite with one hand and my camera up to my eye with the other, and I go, oh, well, that's easily enough power to lift that weight of this camera. I simply have to, that's got to be the next thing I do, is actually lift the camera with this kite.
Well, we posted some of your work to our Facebook page because that's the first thing people will want to see, images of what it looks like from a kite. And so some of those are up there on Facebook. But as a kite photographer, what are some of your favorite images to capture?
Well, you know, the difference, I think, in what I was able to do and what I discovered quickly is to be able to take the camera to a little bit unusual heights, you know, above what you might get from the roof, but not the same views you might get from an airplane. And what I really liked about the images that I started to get were that they included people. You know, like most of your aerial photos that you would see taken from satellites and airplanes and so on, you know, you can find a house and you might be able to see a car, but you're not going to see people and you're not going to understand, you know, how they're sort of interacting, you know, in the world. And so from the kite's view of maybe 50 feet or maybe as much as a few hundred, you know, that to me was where the interest was. It was sort of the aerial close-up, if you will. So I find myself drawn to any kind of place or location that has human activity, because I find, you know, that viewpoint is just really amazing and really refreshing.
Well, you brought a couple of your books in, and I'm looking at a view just over Miss Forward's head on the state capitol. How fun is that to just take these iconic places in Wisconsin and get a kite's eye view on them?
Well, it's a blast, to be honest. And, of course, you know, this effort didn't start out with beautiful pictures of the top of the Capitol. They started off being, you know, actually pretty technically flawed, crooked, out-of-focus, overexposed pictures of my side of my house or part of my house. But I right away recognized the interesting perspective. And so I pursued it and then found myself, you know, getting better equipment, getting better able to operate that equipment, and then taking that camera and my kites to sort of more locations that you don't think of as being sort of kite fields, so like over the Capitol. And, of course, with permission.
Well, you said already that this is not an average kite that you get at the drugstore. This is a 20-foot kite that it sounds like you built yourself. So without getting too technical on us, how do you get the camera on there and how do you get it to, you know, just keep taking pictures?
So I have several kites, just like a golfer wouldn't have just one club to go shoot around a golf. I have maybe 6 or 8 kites that I can use to lift the camera. And what I do is, you know, and I choose the kite based on wind speeds and the sight conditions and so on. And then I actually let the kite up a few hundred feet and then connect the camera into its little holder that I'm able to radio control and turn and tilt and trip the shutter. Actually gets mounted not directly to the kite, but actually connected to the line. And then I just let out more line to take the camera up to the height that I want to take it.
When I think kites in my personal life, I think failure. And I also think of Charlie Brown's kite-eating tree. How many kite disasters have you had? What are some of the challenges in keeping it in the air and not losing your gear?
You know, there's always a guy that wants to hear about the disasters.
That's me.
Yeah. I've never really ruined any cameras. I've never dropped or even bumped or damaged. The very first camera rig that I built, I could still use today.
Impressive.
I've worn out a lot of kites because I fly a lot, and I'm sort of into everything kites, not just lifting cameras with them. But, you know, and I've gone through a number of different phases. You know, it started off with a camera that was sort of looked like something Rube Goldberg would put together with rubber bands and bent paper clips and epoxied timers, and has moved to more radio controlled and, you know, sort of fully modern automatic digital cameras.
So we've heard a lot lately about drones and what they can and can't do legally, concerns people have. Have you run into things like that, laws and restrictions about kite photography?
Yeah, you know, kites fall under a different part of the FAA regulations than do motorized and drones. So, you know, I'm kind of sitting here back, kind of enjoying the conversation because it doesn't really impact me, but at least I'm hoping it won't ultimately impact me, but
it sounds like you get permission.
Yeah, and I don't need to be licensed. Like, you know, if you were going to do drone, you know, photography from a drone right now, I think you'd need to have some sort of licensing. It just falls under different parts of the regulations. But, you know, I've been doing this for about 25 years or 26 years, so I'm just kind of enjoying the ride of now such a expanded interest in low altitude aerial photography.
If someone at home is thinking, yeah, I'd like to try this, how would you suggest someone get started?
Well, if you Google kite aerial photography, you'll find that there's a number of people doing it, and there's a lot of really helpful forums and places like Flickr and little news groups that people kind of, you know, converse around the world. And so it's not as obscure as you might think. And quite honestly, there's a very fascinating history that goes back to about the 1880s of men and, I think mostly men back at that time, using kites to lift cameras.
Now, you mentioned earlier that it's a 20-foot kite, not to keep harping on the kite, but I'm trying to visualize, like, do you hold it and you run with it, this 20-foot kite? Is that how you get it in the air?
No, that's what Charlie Brown would do.
And that's, and Rob, apparently.
Yeah, and Rob. Yeah, yeah. That's not really how a good kite would work. You know, typically, think of a kite like a sailboat. You know, a big sailboat with a big sail can just simply put up its sail in even a very gentle wind, and the sail fills and the boat begins to move. And it's sort of like that with a kite, too. You can assemble the sail and lift the nose and the wind gets under it and it just, you know, it starts to lift. And
you make it sound kind of like a precision instrument, is it? Can you get precise with a kite?
Yeah. In fact, one of the other elements of my kiting is to do indoor kite flying with very high performance and very, very precise ability to fly in a very enclosed spaces. And
So what is on your list of places to photograph this year?
Well, one of my absolute favorite places is up in the Apostle Islands. Mm-hmm. I go up there every year and actually do a kite-making class at the Madeline Island School of the Arts on Madeline Island. And that always gives me a chance to spend some extra time exploring the islands. And I don't know, anyone that's been there knows that you can spend a lot of time there and not have seen everything mm-hmm. there is to see. So even though it's fun to go to completely new places, and I do have that opportunity with my kites and cameras, but I almost rather prefer to go back to places and explore them on a deeper level, you know, with, you know, once you have a little bit of familiarity with a place, to go back and explore it deeper is great. So I'm looking forward to going back there this summer. And I've also drawn to the cranberry harvesting up in central Wisconsin and have gone up to capture that a few times lately. And we'll go back there this year for sure.
Craig, thanks. It sounds like a lot of fun and the pictures are great. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That was Craig Wilson, a kite aerial photographer, author of A Little More Line, A Kite's View of Wisconsin and Beyond. We have some of his pictures on the Central Time Facebook page.
If you want to be a guest on Hidden Wisconsin and tell us about the work that you do, or you want to nominate somebody else who has an interesting job here in Wisconsin, or maybe a job that's a little unsung, call our hotline. It's 855-683-5422. That's 855-683-5422 or email centraltime@wpr.org.
Still to come today, from going Gangnam Style to the rants of an NFL player, our next guest will help explain what exactly makes something go viral. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.